Welcome to The Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits. Together, we're going to dive deep into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits. We'll be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits.
Please reach out to
whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other total rewards.
Our suggestion box is always open.
We've got you.
If you have a question you would like us to
answer, our aim is to empower you with the knowledge and understanding.
Send us a message on Instagram at The Benefits Beat.
And remember to subscribe.
So join your
host,
Maggie and Zach,
so you never miss an
every
episode.
2 weeks,
and be sure
as
to follow
we explain
us on
the
social media for more
all
benefit
in an effort
tips and
to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits.
Hi, I'm Maggie McConnell.
And I'm Zach Ward, and we are your co-hosts for Hub Horan's Employee Benefits Podcast, The Benefits Beat.
Today, we're diving into the sunny side of skincare. We'll explore the importance of sunscreen. Whether you're a sun seeker or a shade lover, understanding sun care is essential for everyone.
First up, Maggie, let's talk the science behind skincare, sun care, etc. UV radiation, obviously what comes from the sun, it doesn't just cause sunburn, but also can cause long-term skin damage, and there's two types of UV rays to be mindful of. First is UVA, which ages the skin, and then the second is UVB, which I think when people think about UV rays, Maggie, most people's brains immediately go to sunburns, but sun exposure can obviously cause sunburn, but it also can cause skin aging, like skin spots and wrinkles, or I'm sure you've seen people with like the leathery skins, so to speak. It can also cause eye damage, skin cancer, which is the most common form of cancer in the United States per the CDC.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is also why sunscreen isn't just for the beach or even in the summer months like you typically think of it. Daily exposure, even on cloudy days or during winter, contributes to cumulative damage over time. So even on an overcast day, up to 80% of the sun's UV rays can get through the clouds still. So starting sun protection as early as you can significantly reduce the risks of skin cancer and that premature aging that you talked about.
Yeah, we had a day, a beautiful day here in Ohio for March, early March, this Sunday, that was, I think, maybe 70, or low 70s, and I got sunburned. And I just didn't think about it, right? I go out, and I played golf, and I come back, and my girlfriend said, you're really sunburned. Like, I didn't even think about it. It's the middle of winter. So to be honest with you, Maggie, this is not something that I'm good at. I grew up always outside, and I always got sunburned, and probably going to have some consequences of that in the future, but how can I make it more of a seamless part of my life? How can I understand what I need to use? Where do I start?
Yeah. So first, I think you need to choose a broad spectrum sunscreen that protects against both UVA and the UVB rays. So all sunscreens help protect against sunburn, but only those that are broad spectrum have an SPF of at least 15 have been shown to also reduce the risk of skin cancer and early skin aging caused by the sun when used as directed with other sun protection measures like, you know, wearing hats, sunglasses, and those sun protective clothes.
I think I've even seen some people actually just use it as a moisturizer, so to speak.
And I am one of those people. I always make sure that, you know, I even try to make sure that, you know, I have a SPF in my moisturizer. I try to find makeup that I like that, you know, fits my skin tone with an SPF in my makeup even. So I am trying to cover all the bases as much as I can. And another big thing with sunscreen, you know, that we always do have to remember, reapplication is key. So especially if you're swimming or you're sweating, make sure you're reapplying, you know, at least 2 hours, I would say, I think is the given rules, what the FDA, you know, suggests. Every 2 hours and or more if you're swimming or sweating.
But it's not just the sunscreen, right? Like, I probably fall into the trap of I'll just go outside and I'll be out there for 10 hours, right? But it's not just about sunscreen, Maggie, right? It's I fall into the trap of I'll just go outside, I'll put on sunscreen once, and I kind of just leave it and just forget about it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I did my duty.
Yeah. I checked the box for other people, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm one of those people that's like, I don't need sunscreen, whatever, yeah. I'll be good. But it's also about finding, you know, an area of shade every once in a while, right? I love the long sleeve shirts. People call me crazy during summer months, but I love long sleeve shirts because I don't get sunburned. So I have a lot of the fishing material shirts that I wear with shorts and whatever, and then people look at me like, what are you wearing a long sleeve shirt for?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't understand that I'm probably cooler than you are because I'm not getting exposed to these UV rays, these UVB rays, and I'm avoiding the sun at all costs during peak hours. I don't want to, if it's 120 outside, I'm not outside. I'm going to be inside in my nice air conditioning, staying cool.
One of my favorite things is always checking the UV rays or, you know, the UV index for the day. So I'm putting on sunscreen no matter what, but if you're like unsure if it's a peak hour or if you are unsure how, you know, strong it is at that moment, you can just Google UV index and your area, wherever you have to be at that or wherever you are at that time. And it'll tell you a level of, I think it's like 1 to 12, and you know what level you're at. So you can see, okay, really this is, you should probably stay inside or at the very least definitely put on sunscreen and definitely at least seek shade every once in a while.
Yeah. And be especially careful if you have a history of, always talk to your doctor about sun safety and be mindful that if they ever prescribe you any new medications, that some of those medications can actually increase how sensitive you are to the sun. So you always want to make sure that you're being proactive instead of reactive when it comes to sun safety, because once you get that burn and that itch, it's hard to get rid of.
It's the worst. I'm picturing like one of the worst sun burns I've ever had in my life. And I think that is why it just flipped a switch in my head that, oh my God, okay, I need to make sure I'm careful and I never want to feel this way I feel right now.
I had one about 2 years ago on vacation and it was windy. We were in Michigan. It was windy and it was sunny. And I think I got a little mixture of windburn along with sunburn. And it was, for the next 3 days, I was itching 24/7. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I was in tears because it was the worst pain I've ever. Now, Maggie, I don't think we can have an episode on sun safety / UV rays and not talk about what I think is a pretty hot button issue here. Let's talk about the dreaded tanning beds. Talk to me a little bit about, I have no experience with them, so I'm going to defer to you on this.
Why do you think I have experience with them? No, I'm kidding. I do. Because before I knew how bad they were, I did go to the tanning bed, not a ton, but I have definitely been a handful of times in my life. And while I think, you know, they seem like a very quick route to that perfect tan, the truth is they are so, so, so incredibly harmful. So, you know, you've already gone over UV radiation, different ways it can damage the skin, and tanning beds are no exception to that. So, in fact, all my facts here, they actually emit concentrated UV radiation, significantly increasing your risk of melanoma and other skin cancers. So, according to the American According to the American Academy of Dermatology, using tanning beds before age 20 can increase your chances of developing melanoma by 47%, and the risk increases with each use, which is mind-blowing to me.
I'm glad I don't use them.
Be glad you don't use them, but also I think people aren't Googling, oh, let's see how bad the tanning bed is for me before I go. But putting a 47% chance of increased chance of getting melanoma just kind of blew my mind when I was, you know, researching for this episode. So not only do they increase your risk of developing melanoma, but they also increase the risk of developing some of the other most common types of skin cancer by up to 58%. And if that isn't enough for you, they also accelerate skin aging, leading to premature wrinkles and hyperpigmentation. For anyone who is like, I don't care, I won't be one of those people that gets skin cancer. Well, maybe if, you know, that will still steer you away from them.
So we're big on this podcast. We always talk about, okay, that we're telling you about an issue here, but we like to give alternatives. So when you're thinking about tanning beds, they're harmful, right? They increase your risk for cancer. They are not good for you. What are some alternatives to somebody who, there are reasons that you need a tan or you want a tan or whatever, but what are some safer alternatives for those looking for that?
I mean, in the market now, there are a countless number of those, of any kind of sunless tanners. So those are always going to be a much safer alternative if you're looking for, you know, that sun-kissed look, but without the risk of developing cancer. You know, like I said, there's so many. There are the foams now with, you know, with gloves you can put on. There are sprays. There are lotions. There are so many other options. Please just choose one of them instead of the tanning bed.
Yeah, I think we were just talking about it. There's a new one out for men that is probably the same stuff as always has been, but it's got some new funky name that hopefully is working more to men, and they can use that. But just finding options that are not, hey, I want to get something, but I don't want to go to the tanning bed is important.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care how they market it, whether it's for men or women, however they market it, I don't care. Just use them. If you're a man that goes to the tanning bed, please stop. We don't want you to get cancer. You want to avoid it at all costs. So, you know, go to the Walgreens or the Walmarts or the Targets of the world and get the new tanner that's probably the exact same one as the women's, but marketed for men, if that makes you feel any better about it.
And then going on to, okay, we've talked about what they are, right? What the risks are associated with UV rays in all possible ways. But let's go to the other end of, okay, now how do I connect this with my insurance? I've got my medical insurance. I've got a dermatologist, et cetera. How do I start navigating what's covered, where I should go, things I should know about when I go to the doctor for, hey, I've got this spot on my arm I need to get taken a look at. Any suggestions for our listeners?
I think many plans, they cover your annual preventive skin checks. So those are obviously going to be crucial for any early detection of skin issues. So make sure you're going to that at least one a year. Like I said, many plans cover at least one annual preventive check, you know, keyword being preventive there. So if they do maybe find something and if it turns into a diagnostic test, you may, you know, receive a bill for that. But the very least, make sure you're going because you would rather find it early than later.
I think just knowing it's covered at some level is important for a lot of our listeners.
Definitely.
Don't be afraid to go. We never want our listeners to avoid going to the doctor. We just want to help them understand how it's covered, if it's covered, and what they need to know about when they go to the doctor.
Yeah, and like you said, we don't want them to not go. We want you to go to the doctor. Make sure you're healthy always. But, you know, if they do find something at any of your doctors you're going to in these preventive visits, you're catching it the earliest you can. So in the long run, that's going to save you so much time and effort trying to, you know, diagnose or figure out what the issue is and how to fix it. And it's going to save you so much money catching whatever it is early rather than letting it snowball until it's, you know, too late.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think people forget about from a skincare routine, and we talked about this a few episodes ago of kind of the year end stuff, is sunscreen is FSA eligible.
Yes.
If you have a flexible spending account, you can use those funds on sunscreen. And this is probably far away from people's mind at the end of the year in winter, but if you have some funds left over at the end of the year that you need to use, maybe it's a good time to stock up on some sunscreen or, to your point, moisturizer that you use for your face. We always recommend that people visit fsastore.com at the end of the year, and there should be some options for sunscreen, moisturizer, maybe some makeup. I don't know.
I don't know about makeup. I've actually never looked on there for makeup, but I know for a fact sunscreen because we actually just had a coworker. She had, you know, actually like a few hundred dollars in her FSA at the end of the year that she had not used. And at the end of the year, she always goes in and buys hundreds of dollars. She bought like $200 worth of sunscreen, face moisturizer with SPF in it, you know, spray. There's, you know, all the different kinds of sunscreen that you could possibly think of in the FSA store and all the ones that, you know, you may love, but they are a little more expensive sometimes. There are some different types that I love that I never want to buy out of my own pocket. So, you know what? End of the year, FSA funds go towards that, and I still have the sunscreen that I prefer.
Yeah, it's use it or lose it. So if you can find something to use those funds on, then we should, no matter what that is. And in this case, it's sunscreen.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, can we touch on just a couple of key points that our listeners need to remember? First, I know you hit this hard, but no sunscreen is truly waterproof. You should always be reapplying after 2 hours, maybe more if it's a really hot day. Maybe after 30 minutes, you need to go reapply sunscreen, something along those lines. And then pay attention to expiration dates. Sunscreen does lose its effectiveness over time, so make sure that yours is up to date. If it's not, then it's not going to be as effective. You may still get sunburn, and you may still be at risk for developing skin issues later in life.
Remember, the best sunscreen is the one that you'll use consistently. So find a formula that you love, make it a part of your daily routine, and your future self will thank you.
Great. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Zach.
Nothing we say on this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative. Thanks for tuning in today. Our suggestion box is always open, so if you have a question you would like us to answer or a topic you would like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram at TheBenefitsBeat. And remember to subscribe on your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode, and be sure to follow us on social media for more benefit tips and tricks.